once again with another episode of the EOT Newsflash. This is episode 54, our limited set review for Kaladesh. The pre-release is this weekend and I cannot be more excited for it, and I hope you guys are as well. Now, I've already uploaded the video version of this to YouTube. I'll be putting the link to that in the show notes, so definitely go check that out. Was really pleased with the way it came out and have been getting a lot of positive feedback on it. So please go check that out and don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel as well. Now, what I'm doing for everybody here on MTGcast, I've broken the audio from each of those down into three separate parts for you guys. Part one is the white, the blue, and the black. Part two is the red and the green cards. And part three is the gold, the lands, and the artifacts. So I just wanted to give you guys a leg up on the competition this weekend. So sit back, relax, and let's go over each card in Kaladesh, starting with the white, the blue, and the black cards. Thanks for listening, guys. I'll be right back with y'all. All right. What is up, everybody? This is Alex once again with the EOT News Flash. This is going to be our limited set review for Kaladesh, which comes out, the pre-release is next week, so this is going to be your first look at the entire set, reviewing each of the cards individually, giving a power ranking and all of that. We're going off a 4-point scale. Ones of the cards you will never play. Two are your filler cards, your less impactful cards, your weaker creatures and removal spells. The threes are going to be sort of your premium creatures, your premium removal, and the fours are the bombs that will pull you into the color that you open. Maybe it's your first pick in draft, or it's like a really good bomb in your sealed pool. Those are the cards you would be looking for to build kind of your decks around. You'll notice that there is nobody with me, so I'm going to be doing this by myself. Just a scheduling issue here, but I'm just trying to knock this out before I end up not being able to do this for a while because we're moving soon, so that's exciting. So yeah, we are kicking things right off with the white cards, and we're going to go right into the first one with Acrobatic Maneuver. This is a 2 and a white instant that allows you to exile target creature you control and return that card to the battlefield under its owner control and draw cards. So it's your typical blink effect. The card draw saves this, really. It's good to blink a removal spell, but that's about it. It gets a 2. Nothing fancy here. Next one is Aerial Responder, 1 white dwarf soldier. It's a 2/3 flying vigilance lifelink. The white vampire Nighthawk is here at last. This guy's solid. Real solid. Definite 3 for me. Three relevant abilities for combat. Hard to block, hard to kill. He gains you life back. Awesome guy. Very, very cool card. Next one we have is Aetherstorm Rock. 2 white, 3/3 bird. Whenever Aetherstorm Rock or another creature enters the battlefield under your control, you get an energy. Now, energy is the new mechanic that allows you to gain these energy counters. It's another resource that a lot of these cards actually can take advantage of, whether or not you have energy to spend on their abilities, or just they do all kinds of cool things. So you gain an energy counter whenever it or another creature enters the battlefield under your control, and whenever it attacks, you can pay 2 energy. And if you do, put a +1/+1 counter on it, and up to 1 target creature, and tap up to 1 target creature defending player controls. So this thing can just get out of control very, very quickly. A solid 4 for me. As long as you've got a good way to generate energy every time, you know, when a creature's coming into play, if you're playing a creature every turn, you're more than likely able to activate this thing multiple times. And if your opponent doesn't have any air defense, this thing's going to start clocking very quickly and eventually get to the point where it's so big you can't even block this thing in the air anymore. Super great card here. Solid 4 for me. Next one we have is our first mythic. This is the Angel of Invention. 3 white, 2/1 angel, flying vigilance, lifelink. Fabricate 2, which allows you to either put 2+1/+1 counters on it or create 2 1/1 servo creatures, artifact tokens, and other creatures you control get +1/+1. I don't like this one very much. 5 mana for a 2/1 isn't great. I mean, the anthem effect is cool and all, but I don't think you want to be paying 5 mana for that. Because when you think about it, let's do the math here. So 5 mana, and you fabricate the 2 tokens. You get a 2/1, and you get 2/2s along with it, and those are your 2 mana buffed really big. Now, if you've got a pretty wide board state, this could be just the tipping point in the battle for you. But other than that, I give it a 3 just because it is relatively weak on its own. You know, as always, there's good bounce effects in this set. There's decent, you know, a little cheap damage spot removal as well. So I would say that a majority of the time, you're going to make this just be a 5 mana 4/3, and I think that's still plenty good. You know, we're talking about Gisela stats here. So I give it a 3. It might be better than that. I'm not convinced yet, but we will definitely see how this one shakes out. This is the one I'm reserving the most judgment on just yet. This could be, you know, an all-star for both limited and potentially even standard. I've heard a lot of people talk about this one and really excited about this one. But for now, solid 3. All right, moving on to our next set of cards. We've got Authority of the Consuls. It's a 1-white enchantment that creatures your opponent control enter tapped to the battlefield, and whenever a creature enters the battlefield under an opponent's control, you gain 1 life. This is a little bit reminiscent of Blind Obedience, a card from Gatecrash, if I'm not mistaken, that had the Extort mechanic, so you could really kind of punish your opponents just by playing, you know, spells and just paying incremental mana to drain life from those spells. I'm giving this one for now a 2 for limited. If you can build a really aggressive draft deck around this, then you're in really good shape, because at that point you just play this on turn 1 and just play a guy every single turn and just beat down. And for the most part, your opponent probably can't get out from underneath this. Other than that, I don't think it's very good. I've seen some people, you know, have some murmurings about this being in Modern and the Unbanning of Splinter Twin, fingers crossed. But it won't happen, because this card I don't think is very good at all. So, not great. Next one we've got is Aviary Mechanic. 1 and a white, 2/2 Dwarf Artificer. When it enters the battlefield, you return another permanent you control to its owner's hand. So this is kind of like the core Skyfisher mechanic here, only this thing doesn't fly. Now, that being said, the bouncing of something you control back to your hand is actually pretty relevant, because a lot of these creatures that have ETB effects ETB and create energy as well. So I like it for that, and it's a good 2/2 guy. It's a bear, and you know, bears are always good, so 2.5 for me. Excellent bear. Next one we have is Built to Last. 1 white instant. It gives a target creature +2/+2 until the end of turn. If it's an artifact creature, it gains indestructible until the end of turn. I like a good combat trick. I'm usually not very high on them, but in some cases they can be pretty decent. This one's on the lower end of the scale for me personally. +2/+2. Your opponent's going to be able to see this coming a lot of times. And might be able to make the block accordingly and just trade, you know, favorably for them, maybe unfavorably for them. It's kind of iffy. Now that being said, if it isn't an artifact creature, then the stock goes up a little bit. So the modal aspect of it makes it a little bit higher, somewhere under 2.25 for me, maybe a 2.5. But as it stands, I'm just going to give this one a solid 2 for now. Next one we have is Captured by the Consulate, the really bad Spellsky impersonation. 3 and a white enchantment aura that enchants a creature you don't control, which is important. It enchants a creature, it can't attack, and whenever an opponent casts a spell, if it has a single target, change the target to the enchanted creature if able. So you can't have it, you know, be an invalid target for a kill target black creature, and the creature it's attached to is not black. I don't like this spell really at all. I gave this one a solid 2. The only thing I can think of, like, this has got to be, you know, if your opponent plays like one of the Gear Hulks and you just have to sub it, you put it on this, and then it makes them waste their removal spells. But again, there's still bounce in this set that's going to make this thing kind of irrelevant. It's just going to fall off when they bounce their own creature back to their hand and possibly replay it and get another ETB trigger off of it. This just isn't very good. Bleh, 2. What else can you say? Bad card is bad. Now, here's a good card. All right, here is a very good card. This is the Cataclysmic Gear Hulk, the first of our Gear Hulk cycle, full 5 mythics Gear Hulk cycle. 3 white-white artifact creature construct, 4/5 vigilance, and when it enters the battlefield, each player chooses an artifact, a creature, an enchantment, and a planeswalker from among the non-limited permanents he or she controls, and sacrifices the rest. Game over limited. 9 times out of 10, your opponent's only really going to have 2 of these things. Probably the creature and the artifact, and that's going to be it. This is going to see something play in standard. I've heard some whispers about this being played in modern. I'm not convinced yet. But Cataclysmic Gearhold gets a solid 4. Yeah, there we go. Next one we have is Consulate Surveillance, 3 and a white enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, gain 4 energy. So, pretty good, solid investment right there. Pay 2 energy and prevent all damage that would be dealt to you this turn by a source of your choice. I'm not too sure about this one. I'm giving it a 2 for now, but this one I'm going to reserve some judgment on simply because if there's enough energy generators in this set. And if you're playing like maybe like a blue-white control-ish deck in your draft or your limited environment, I can see this being a real thing because this is a repeatable effect. So if you have four energy, you can just say, all right, I'm going to print the damage from that guy and that guy. And then I'm going to play a guy on my turn, and I'm going to get some more energy, and then tap stop that guy, and then play some more energy and get that guy. I mean, there's a lot of energy generating in this set, so I could be wrong about this one. It's probably going to sit at a 2 for now. I can see it's going as high as a 3 in some cases, but this is a card that I'm going to reserve judgment on. A lot of these energy generators are very, very hard to evaluate because this is a mechanic that we've never seen before, and it's just a really hard one to evaluate. So maybe take a lot of these ratings with a grain of salt and maybe bump them about a half grade in that sense. But for now, it's going to stick at a 2. All right, next one we have is Kunsel's Shield Guard. 3 and a white, 3/4 Dwarf Soldier. Enters a battlefield, get 2 energy, and whenever it attacks, you may pay an energy. And if you do, another target attacking creature gains indestructible until the end of turn. Indestructible is good. The body's actually pretty relevant. A lot of the white cards in the set so far that we've looked at and we're going to look at later on can't really rumble with this thing. A lot of the blue cards can't really rumble with this thing. It's a pretty good sized body. So 2.5 for me right now. Again, this could go a lot higher if energy is a lot better than I think it is. And I already think it's pretty solid. So we'll see. Next one we've got is the Eddie Trail Hawk. 1 white. And it's a bird, it's a 1/2, it's a flyer. When there's a battlefield, you get 2 energy. Whenever it attacks, you may pay a white, and if you do, another target attacking creature gains flying to the end of turn. I'm all about cheap evasive creatures. This guy's my jam right here. Gave this guy a solid 2.5, and just the ability to pay an energy and make one of your bigger guys get up in the air and just bash him with this guy, perfect. It is worth mentioning that all of these energy creatures that generate energy, and a lot of the permanents that generate energy, except for a couple of them, the more mythic and rare ones, you can immediately get the advantage from their energy as soon as you play it, which is really great. They don't need like another card to set up their energy cost. They are self-contained and can get their advantage without having to have it much more setup. So cards like the Eternal Hawk are really, really cool because they all just kind of like get you the energy and you can use it as soon as you can. There's no real big setup time for it. So excellent, excellent common. Solid 2.5. Let's scroll on down. We have got Fairgrounds Warden, a.k.a. Fiend Hunter, a.k.a. Banisher Priest, a.k.a. Oblivion Ring. I've seen this card a million times. Finally, with the correct templating, I think this is the best way to actually make this template actually work without it being able to go infinite with itself. 2 and a white, Dwarf Soldier, 1/3. When it enters the battlefield, exile target creature and opponent controls until Fairgrounds Warden leaves battlefield. Sweet. Solid 3 for me. Like I've said, the 3 toughness is really relevant. There's not a lot of creatures that can rumble with this guy, and you're probably just going to leave him, you know, on defense a lot of times and just let him, you know, just hang out as he exiles a creature that they're kind of beaten down with and just roll the punches from there. Solid, solid uncommon from there. Next one we have is Fragmentize. 1 white sorcery, destroy target artifact or enchantment with converted mana cost 4 or less. Typically, cards like this will be relegated to the sideboard. Now, this being a set that's heavily, heavily influenced by artifacts, this is main deckable at this point. And since there's no downside to you casting it, them gaining life or anything like that, it's a pretty solid one. The restriction on it makes it a little less wieldy. Sorcery makes it a little bit more unwieldy. But as it stands, I like a good solid removal spell that's going to handle a lot of the bigger creatures in this set. Things like the Gear Hulks, some of the vehicles are also really problematic. This is a great way to get around them. Modern playable as well, I think. There's definitely a chance to see some breaking into modern, I think. All right, next one we have is Fumigate. 3 white, sorcery, destroy all creatures and gain a life for each creature destroyed this way. I'm all about board wipes. This one's a solid 4 for me. It's going to stabilize the board in more ways than one. You wipe the board and reset your life total in a lot of cases. Board wipes. Sweet. Gearshift Ace. 1 and a white. Dwarf Pilot. 2/1. First strike. When it crews a vehicle, that vehicle gains first strike. This thing's nuts. Probably, like, first strike on a bear is already solid. It will constantly trade up and will never trade down in a lot of cases unless they're just blocking with like a 5 drop essentially. Giving the vehicles first strike is also huge because a lot of the ones that you're going to be wanting to draft are big on the power side. There's a 6-1, there's the 10, there's the 7-5, there's a 10-9. They're huge. This thing is great. Even if it's not in a vehicle, even if you don't have any vehicles, just a 2-1 first striking body is fantastic. It's a solid 3 for me. Let's move on down to the Glint Sleeve Artisan. They are stretching on some of these names here. This is a 2 and a white dwarf artificer, 2/2, fabricate 1. Again, you can put a pulsing counter on it or make a 1/1 servo. I'm not a huge fan of the fabricate mechanic itself. It's just kind of underwhelming. 3 mana 2/2s are iffy. 3 mana 3/3s are iffy. Yeah, you get an extra point of power across another body, but I'm not a fan of these. Like, if we could see like a really big fabricate, then we're talking. But as it is, this one's just kind of meh. So give him a 2. Next one we have is Herald of the Fair, 2 and a white, human, 3/2. Whenever it enters the battlefield, target creature you control gets +1/+1 until the end of turn. This guy I like a little bit better. If you guys played a little bit of Eldritch Moon and Shadows of Innistrad Limited, there were a couple of the green and white human creatures that could pump a creature or your entire team in some cases. And that's a pretty decent rate. And a 3 mana 3/2 is nothing to scoff at. So I'm actually going to revise this guy's rating to a 2.5. So he's good. Impeccable timing. Johnny's on Kaladesh. Whatever. 1 and a white. Instance. It deals 3 damage to target attacking or blocking creature. Solid removal, solid removal. 2.5. Next up. Inspired Charge, 2 white, instant. Creatures you control get +2/+1 till the end of turn. This is potentially a one-sided Wrath effect. If you're playing an aggressive deck and you line up some block, your opponent lines up some blocks and you cast this, I can see this ending just clearing the board on their side. If they're attacking and you have a wide board state to block with, also, again, played a little bit defensively, played a little offensively. Solid 2.5 for me. The only issue is that a lot of times your opponent can read this one coming. If you didn't play anything, you've got 4 mana left over, this is a pretty easy one to sniff out, so do be careful if you're going to try to catch your opponent off guard with this one. It might not go the way you want it to. So next one we've got is the Master Tinkerer, 2 and a white, Dwarf Artificer, 3/2, that gives servos and thought creatures you control +1/+1, and you can pay 3 and a white to create a 1/1 colorless servo artifact creature token. Sweet. I give this guy a 3.5. This guy, unchecked, this will create a board state that you will probably not lose from, and your opponent needs to kill this thing ASAP. All right, next one we've got is the 9th Bridge Patrol. Apparently 1 through 8 Bridge Patrols were not available. 1 and a white, 1/1, Dwarf Soldier. Whenever another creature you control leaves the battlefield, put a 1/1, +1/+1 counter onto 9th Bridge Patrol. Now, Unruly Mob is a card you might remember from original Innistrad block and Shadows of Innistrad that only counted when creatures died. This is a little bit better because creatures are leaving the battlefield, so blink effects, bounce effects, die effects, exile effects. This guy can get out of control very, very quickly, especially if you're like suiciding your little guys in to like see if you're in a block or take the chip shot damage. So this guy's actually not terrible. 2.5 for me. Next we have is a Pressure Point. 1 and a white, instant, tap target creature, draw a card. This is a reprint from Khan's block. This is a Jeskai card. There's no prowess to take advantage of here, so this is a little bit worse. Maybe you can catch a creature, you know, tap it one time, draw a card. It's a decent tempo play. If the blue-white sort of flyers deck still maintains its, you know, prevalence in limited environments like it has for the past, forever, this could be decent. My one big question is, where is this giant cat beast? Something to think about. Propeller Pioneer is next. 3 and a white, 2/1, flying, fabricate 1. This is always going to be a 4 mana, 4/3 flyer. Or no, 3/2 flyer. God, it's even worse. Ugh. 2.5 is about where I'm going to put this guy. You know, decent flyers are always good in limited formats, especially if the board gets clogged up. You make this guy bigger and he just starts flying over. Meh. 2.25. Next one we've got, we have Refurbish. 3 and a white, sorcery, return target artifact creature from your graveyard to your hand. Oh, wait. Battlefield. That's huge. Typically, a card like this will put it back in your hand. But instead, this is going to put your console's flagship back on the battlefield. This is going to put your Gearhulk back on the battlefield. This is going to put your giant whatever back on the battlefield. This thing is sweet. This is a solid 3, especially if you've got some powerful artifacts to go with it. Take this one highly, put it in your limited decks. Very, very powerful card. Next one is Revoke Privileges. 2 and a white enchantment aura. Enchant creature. It cannot attack, block, or crew vehicles. This is just an improved pacifism straight up. It's a 3. Next we have is Servo Exhibition. 1 and a white sorcery that creates 2/1/1 colorless servo artifact creature tokens. Why could it be instant? Why can't it be Raise the Alarm? It's just a functional reprint. Come on, Wizards. And it's uncommon. Either they are highly overvaluing these servo creatures and the artifact theme to push in here, or I am really not seeing the power here. It's just kind of iffy. I give it a solid 2. Next one we have is the Sky Swirl Harrier. 4 and a white, 3/4. It's a flyer. It's a bird. It's a 2. Mediocre at best. I don't like 5 mana, 3/4 flyers has typically been pretty good. This is a filler card, plain and simple. And it's got a decently sized body to kind of push through some damage. So, but other than that, nothing special. Next one we've got is Sky Whaler's Shot. 2 and a white, destroy target creature with 3 power greater, scry 1. Solid removal is solid removal. There will always be big things to kill in limited games, in draft games. Take this highly, put it in your decks, kill things. Fun. Next one we have is the Tasseled Dromedary thing. It's a camel. Oh, it was a horse. Anyway, it's a 1/0/4. It blocks. Don't play this one. Thriving Ibex is next. 3 and a white, 2/4, goat. When Thriving Ibex enters the battlefield, you get 2 energy. Whenever Thriving Ibex attacks, you may pay 2 energy, and if you do, put a +1/+1 counter on it. Pretty solid. The Thriving cycle is actually pretty sweet. The Turtle is my favorite, though. I give this guy a 2.5 just because it's a 4 mana 3/5 that just gets constantly bigger. This is going to trade up a lot of times and make combat very awkward for your opponent in some cases, especially if you have a lot of energy generators. You can just do this turn after turn after turn after turn. Sweet. Goats are cool. Next we have Toolcraft Exemplar. 1 white, creature, dwarf, artificer, 1/1. Beginning of combat on your turn, if you control an artifact, it gains +2/+1 until the end of turn. If you control 3 or more artifacts, it also gains first strike. Sweet. Servos, thopters, incremental artifact creatures, clue tokens, and standard. Just saying, this guy is a solid 3 for me. Alright, next we've got our last 3 white cards here. We've got Trusty Companion. 1 white Vigilance. It's a hyena. I don't know how many hyenas are actually been in Magic, but this is a hyena. It's a 1/1. It's a 1 and a white, 3/2 with Vigilance, and it cannot attack alone. So if you've seen like Mog Flunkies, you're kind of aware of the power level of this card. I can see this being decent in really aggressive white-based draft decks. I would leave this one in the sideboard for your limited sealed decks, just because those games typically tend to be a lot grindier. So I would leave this one to your more aggressive draft decks and go 1-2-3-drop and just kind of start, you know, swinging. But cool. Next one we have is Visionary Augmenter. 2 white, 2/1, Dwarf Artificer Fabricate 2. This one's pretty cool. I like it because a lot of times it's just going to be a 4 mana 4/3. I wish it had a combat ability, you know, first strike or maybe reach or something, because this thing feels just a little bit underpowered. Again, it's just like, I just don't really like the fabricate mechanic in general. It feels a little bit weak to me. Maybe I'm just missing something here. I don't see it just yet. The cool thing about this card is that it is a straight shout out to the Aliens franchise. This is the power loader that Ellen Ripley uses to fight the Alien Queen, which is really sweet. Alterus, get on this one and just put Ellen in the Visionary Augmenter. Last card of the white set, we've got Wisp Weaver Angel. 4 white, creature, angel, 4/4 flyer. When it enters the battlefield, you may exile another target creature you control, then return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control. Great for bouncing Visionary Augmenter if you want to. Get some more servos, fabricate it again. Getting more energy from your ETB effects. It's a big giant flying angel. It's a solid 3. Big giant flying angels are good. So there we go. And that does it for all of our white cards. It's amazing how fast these go when you're the one talking to yourself. Anyway, so yeah, we're going to jump right into the blue card, so definitely check that one out. You'll see it linked in the description and also probably in the sidebar of the YouTube video, so go check those out. Go check us out over on MTGCast, new episodes every week. You can also check us out on Facebook and Twitter and Twitch and everywhere else. Get ready for your Kaladesh pre-release events, and I hope this has been informative for you guys and will help to put some W's in your column, so yeah. Thanks for watching, guys. I'll be back very, very soon with all the blue cards, and we'll go from there. And as always, thanks for watching. All right, what's up, everybody? We're back at it again. This is Alex once again with the EOT Newsflash. This is our Kaladesh limited set review. These are the blue cards. If you haven't already seen the white cards, go back and click on it. It's going to be somewhere in the description underneath the stuff down there at the bottom. So yeah, go check that out. We're doing all the cards for limited. So if you're gonna be drafting or playing sealed or your pre-release, which is next weekend, you can be ready. So as always, we operate on a 4-point scale. Your ones are the cards that you will never ever play. They are trash. Twos are the cards that are kind of like your filler, your mediocre creatures, your mediocre spells, the bulk of your deck a lot of times. Threes are going to be your premium spells and removal and your creatures. And fours are the absolute bombs that just go boom. Open the pack. There's the Jason Mind Sculptor. I'm going to play blue. I open up this. This is my sealed pool. Open a great rare. I'm going to play this. They're the cards that pull you into the colors that you want to play. And so without any further delay, we're going to jump right into Aether Meltdown. This is a 1-blue instant with flash. It's a, oh no, 1-blue enchantment aura. Holy cow. With flash, therefore it is an instant. Enchant creature or vehicle, and when it enters the battlefield, you get two energy. Again, the energy is sort of like this new resource that you can get that's tied to you as a player, not to the permanent, so you can always have some amount of energy kind of at your disposal as long as you're playing cards that generate you energy. Enchanted permanence gets -4/-0. This is just a good, solid, kind of pseudo-removal spell. If there's a big guy coming at you, you want to be able to make it a little bit smaller or get some maybe trades for in combat somehow. This is a great way to do that, and I really recommend it. This is a card I'm going to take pretty highly. Solid 2.5 for me. It's pretty good removal, and having flash always makes it good, and generating energy, as always, is really, really powerful as well. If I'm evaluating it correctly, it's just a tough mechanic to really get your head around until you've seen it in play. But for the time being, I like this card a lot, and you know, the art's really sweet. Next one we have is the Aether Theorist. 1-blue, he's a 1/3 Vedalken Rogue. When Aether Theorist enters a battlefield, you get 3 energy, and you can pay 1, you can tap it, pay an energy, and scry 1. That's a good solid repeatable effect. As long as you're able to generate energy, and the next card we're actually going to get to, Aether Tradewinds, kind of makes all of these blue energy generators a lot better. So as long as you have a good way to generate energy consistently, you're going to be scrying. And if you played Theros Limited, you remember the Scryfish, constantly scrying. Scrying on your upkeep or your opponent's instep is always a powerful effect to shift through your deck and find the cards that you need to win the game. So very good, very good card. Solid uncommon. And the 1/3 body is nothing to scoff at either. This is going to block a lot of things, especially out of the white cards. So a solid 2.5 for me. Next one we have is Aether Tradewinds. We have a 2-blue instant. Target, return target creature you control and target permanent you don't control to their owner's hands. Okay, this is going to combo really well with any creature or just any permanent for that matter. Aether Meltdown, Aether Theorist already we've seen, to re-get their energy that they generate when they go into play. Bouncing a permanent you don't control can be a little bit trickier just because you don't want to bounce a beneficial permanent. But if it's something that's attacking you and you just make some blinks, maybe you need to be able to rebuy some energy. So you blink a guy that makes energy, blink their big guy back to their hand, and then just play the guy again next turn, get the energy, and have that ready for the next turn. This is a really powerful common to have at your disposal. I give this one a solid 2.5. This does a lot. It's a very, very tricky card. Bounces everything you could possibly need to do, so it's great. Next one we have is the Aether Squall Ancient. 5 blue blue, Leviathan 6/6. It flies. If you have your upkeep, you get 3 energy, and you can pay 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 energy and return all the creatures to their owner's hands. Activates ability only anytime you can cast a sorcery. Upheavals are upheavals. Upheavals are sweet. If you can get this guy down with some energy to go with and just pop its ability immediately, you've probably won the game. This thing is super sick. The only thing it costs 7, so it's a little unwieldy. But still, I gave this thing a 3.5 because it's huge and awesome. All right. Next one we've got is Ceremonious Rejection. 1 blue instant. Counter target color of the spell. This is a tricky one to evaluate here. It's potentially main deckable because you've got all these artifact spells running around that are going to be widely seen in all of your limited games, especially sealed. Drafts less so, but in your sealed games that you're going to be playing at your pre-release, I can see main decking this one because it is just a counter spell for any colorless spell. The artifacts, the gear hulks, the vehicles, just to stop it immediately. This has a lot of implications in modern and older formats as well. It stops Cranioplating, it stops Edge Champion, it stops Thought-Not Seer, it stops Karn, it stops Ugin. Would you like me to go on? I've heard some people kind of make fun of this card simply because Steel Sabotage exists in those formats as well, to either bounce or counter a target artifact spell. This has got a little bit more application to it, but I can see the argument though. I like this card a lot. Solid 2.5 for me, just because of how widely how many targets this will probably have in a lot of your games you'll be playing. So I take this one pretty highly as well and put it in your decks. Next one we have is Confiscation Coup. Wow. 3 blue blue sorcery. Choose target artifact or creature. You get 4 energy, and then you may pay any amount of energy equal to that permit's converted mana cost. If you do, gain control of it. So this is a cool twist on the old mind control effects we've seen in previous sets. Actual mind control, corrupted conscious. So as long as you've got a stockpile of energy kind of built up, you can probably take just about anything on the board when you cast it. So this is a great card right here. I give this one a solid 3. Next one is Curio Vendor. It's a 1 and a blue Vedalken. 2-1. It's a bear. 2.25. It's a bear. Next one we have is Disappearing Act. 1 blue blue instant as an additional cost to cast. Disappearing Act, return a permanent you control to its owner's hand. Counter target spell. I was really dismissive of this card at first because I really thought, wow, this wizard's just trying to push the fact that they're not going to give us, you know, unconditional counter magic anymore, like cancel. But then I started looking at the rest of the set. How many permanents in this set actually give you energy or have some kind of great ETB effect when you cast it? So all of a sudden, this casting this Disappearing Act and bouncing a creature that you have that's an generous energy on its way back down isn't the worst thing in the world. So this is actually a really deceptively powerful card, and I can see this going into a lot of your blue decks. So I guess when it's all at 2.5, maybe it could be higher, maybe lower. Time will tell on that one. I'm going to reserve some judgment on this one for sure. Next one we have is Dramatic Reversal. Hey, look, it's the Justice League showing up because... I don't know. 1 and a blue instant, untap all target, all non-land permanents you control because untapping your lands is broken. What did I give? I gave it a 2.5. In the best of situations, it's going to untap your guys after you swung out and your opponent's like, oh, no big deal, I'm just going to take some damage. I'm going to kill you in the next thing. You untap all of your guys and you block and win. Triton Tactics was a pretty decent combat trick back in Theros block. This is no Triton's Tactics, so you get no bonus off of it. Maybe there's something to do with some untapped artifacts to get you some advantage to generate. I don't know, but this one's... Yeah. 2. Barely that. Next one we have is Era of Innovation. 1 and a blue enchantment. Whenever an artifact or artificer enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay 1. And you get 2 energy, and you may pay 6 energy, sacrifice it, and draw 3 cards. This one I'm not quite sure on just yet. I'm going to give it a 2 for now, just because I don't know if you can consistently play on curve at the same time you're casting these artifacts. And what I mean by that is, if you play this on two and your next play is a turn is a three drop, but you want to get some you want to get the energy off of Air of Innovation by paying the extra one, you probably won't have that mana in any way. So you're kind of behind the curve in that sense. So this is kind of a newer concept or a more difficult concept for newer players to grasp onto. So if you're going to be playing this, you will be playing it early and then maybe holding back some of your artifacts and artificers to go play in the later turns of the game. But just make sure that you understand that you're not going to get immediate advantage of this immediately. Now, if you play this on turn, like, whatever, you know, seven or whatever it is, and you've already got six in play, sack the energy immediately and just draw three cards. Just go for it. As it stands, though, I'm going to give this one a two just because I think the setup cost and the investment to actual, or the opportunity cost is a little too high. But again, this one could be a lot better than I think it is. So keep an eye on this one as well. Next we have Experimental Aviator, 3BB, 03 Human Artificer, goes with Air of Innovation. When it enters the battlefield, create 2/1/1 colorless flying Thopter tokens on the battlefield. So, what was it? The blue one from Origins, the 4-drop. This is infinitely worse. I don't know why it has any power. I don't know why it flies. This card's not very good. It's a 2. The benefit is just simply getting the flopters off of it and having a decent blocker on the ground. It's not very good. Next one we have is Failed Inspection. 2BB, instant, counter target spell, draw a card, then discard a card. This is a tricky one as well, just because simply counter magic in limited environments is typically not very good. You always want to be playing spells that affect the board and advance your board presence. You know, kill a creature, play another spell, do something to affect the board, not hold up mana. Countering target spells unconditionally is great. Drawing and discarding a card is great, but still, it's the speed of the format, which I'm not quite sure how to evaluate just yet. Could be quite high or could be kind of slow, so it's going to really affect the, you know, overall rating of this card. As it stands, this one sits at a solid 2 for me. Probably better in draft, just having the ability to counter things kind of on your own to make playing like a more controlling blue deck. I can see it being a little bit better there. But as far as your limited games go, at your pre-release, I probably wouldn't play this one. Next one we've got, we're going to scroll down just a little bit. We've got the Gear Seeker Servant. 5BB, 5/6 Serpent that costs 1 less for each artifact you control. 5 and a blue gives it the ability to not be blocked this turn. Don't let that 7 mana converted mana cost scare you away from this guy, because I can see this thing easily costing 5 or less in some cases. This is kind of like the affinity for planes, affinity for islands that we saw back from original Mirrodin block. And given this thing unblockability, this is no joke. If you're playing, you know, maybe like a blue, maybe tempo-y, artifact-based deck, this is going to be your win con. And if your opponents can't stop this thing, it's going to just destroy them. And if you can get it down for any less than its converted mana cost, around that 5 spots, I think it's where it's best, it's where it's going to hit most of the times, you're in really good shape to run away with the game with this thing. I like this card a lot. I gave it a 2.5. Next one we've got. We have the Glimmer of Genius, 3BB instant, scry 2, draw 2, get 2. So it's a 3 of a kind, 3 pairs. This is giving me hope that Wizards is finally kind of letting off of the no cheap and efficient draw spells in Standard. We really haven't had those in a very long time, and the ability to scry and then draw is a huge thing. If you remember playing cards like Sign in Blood or Read the Bones, this is a blue version of that, and it's just better. I gave this one a solid 3 just for the flexibility of the card. In your limited game, especially in your sealed games, at your pre-release, and on your online leagues on Modo, games are going to grind to a halt in some cases. You're going to get board states where you need to be able to kind of, you know, jockey for position. And finding this and be able to find the spells you need in the top couple cards of your library, that's a really huge effect. And I think this is going to be a really great card for limited game plays. I gave this one a solid 3. I like this card a lot. Next one we have is Glint Nest Crane. 1BB, 1/3 bird. When it enters the battlefield, look at the top 4 cards of your library. You reveal an artifact from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in any order. So this is a Fairy Mechanist from Shards of Alara block is what this card is effectively. It's a little bit cheaper to cast. It also flies. It's not a 2/2. It's not a fairy. This is the thing. This thing's really good here. Solid 2.5 just to be able to find an artifact in your library, especially if you're playing a dense artifact deck. I can see this thing being really good. Just don't be surprised if this thing whiffs a couple times. That's the only forewarning I'm going to give you. Next one we have is the High Tide Hermit. I've been seeing that Wizards likes to plant a lot of crabs recently. We had two crabs in Eldritch Moon. I mean, crabs everywhere now. Crab Tribal, sweet. Four and a blue, crab, 4/4, defender. When it enters the battlefield, gain 4 energy, and you can pay 2 energy, and it can attack as this turn as though it didn't have defender. So that's kind of neat. I gave this one a solid 2.5 for 5 mana. It's a huge body. It's going to block a lot of the time. And if you can kind of stabilize the board and maybe, you know, tempo out the board and just start beating it with this giant 4/4, it's not bad. Solid 2.5 for me. Next one we've got is Insidious Will. This is not Tezzeret on this card. This is Baral, I believe is his name. Yeah, Baral, Chief of Compliance. Little bit of backstory here. He was the guy who was on effectively the executioner's block with Chandra when her spark ignited and he took a face full of Planeswalker spark to the face. Badass. 2 blue instant. Choose 1. Counter target spell. You may choose new targets for target spell. Copy target spell, sorcery, instant or sorcery. You may choose new copy targets. Wow, targets for this copy. So this is counter spell, redirect, and shoot, I forgot the other version of this. It'll come to me later. This is a pretty solid card right here, especially for 4 mana. Just being able to stop anything that your opponent's trying to do, redirect a removal spell, or just be able to just blow them out if they're trying to, you know, get you with a combat trick or something like that. This thing is really, really cool. Solid 3.5, probably better in your more controlling decks. I just wouldn't just slide this into any blue deck. Probably not the best idea, but this is a really, really powerful card. I like this card a lot. Next one is the Janjeet Sentry. Vedelkin Soldier, 2/3 for 2 and a blue. Enters battlefield, then you get 2 energy. You may tap it and pay 2 energy to tap or untap target artifact or creature. You know, we've seen things like the Guardian Priest from Eldritch Moon. Just being able to tap a creature for some investment's always really powerful. And if you have a way to constantly generate energy, which a lot of these blue cards generate for you, this is going to be a pretty solid way to keep the ground clear for you. And just kind of like, you know, slowly grind out the advantage and actually win the long game. Next one we have the Long-Finned Sky Whale. 2 blue whale, 4/3, flying, can only block creatures flying. Solid 2.5, excellent role player. Next one we have, Malfunction. 3 to blue that enchants an artifact or a creature. And when it enters the battlefield, tap enchanted permanent. Enchanted permanent does not untap during its controller's untap step. This is a little overcosted for this effect. Even at common, this is typically like a 3-mana spell. This one's rough, honestly, on the mana cost. I hate the fact that it costs 4, but it's still a really powerful effect. It's a solid 2 for me. I wish it might be better than that, but paying 4 mana for this effect can be a little bit dodgy, especially with the prevalence of the bounce spells that we see in a lot of limited games. This could go wrong really poorly, really well, really quickly for you. So just be aware that paying 4 mana and just getting this thing back, getting a creature bounce in response or bounce once it's their turn again, kind of sucks. Next one we've got is probably my favorite blue card in the entire set because it revealed the fact that Tezzeret is on Kaladesh. This is Metallurgic Summonings. 3 blue enchantment. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, create an XX colorless contract artifact creature token where X is the spell's converted mana cost. So if you cast a 4-drop spell, you get a 4/4 artifact creature token. Super sweet. 3 blue exile Metallurgic Summonings. Return all instants and sorceries from your graveyard to your hand. Act this ability only if you control 6 or more artifacts. Unfortunately, this one probably isn't going to make the cut for you and your sealed decks. Having enough instants and sorceries to really get some power out of this one is really, really difficult. Typically, you're going to have upwards of 4 or 5 spells in your deck, and I just can't get behind trying to jam this into your sealed deck and actually build around this. That being said, draft is where this thing is going to shine. Open this up first pick, take it. Build the super sweet spells deck and just grind your opponent out with tempo and just make a bunch of artifacts and just kill them with that because Tezzeret's awesome. As it sits, this is a 2 for limited, except when you're drafting and you've got the deck for it, which, you know, best case scenario, this card can be absurdly powerful. I can guarantee you that. Next one we have is Minister of Inquiries. It's a one drop Vedalken Artificer, 1/2. And there's a battlefield, you get 2 energy. You may tap it, pay an energy, and target player puts the top 3 cards of his or her library into her graveyard. This is your, you know, pretty much, you know, almost, I would say, required at this point, mill card that goes into every set because Wizards likes to, you know, pander to the mill players of the world. Again, if you can generate a consistent stream of energy, this is going to get you some value out of it. There's no real graveyard shenanigans in this set. I can see you wanting to probably target yourself because there's a couple of black and black-white cards that actually get creatures out of the, or artifacts out of the graveyard. That's where this thing can come into see you play a little bit, but I wouldn't try and mill your opponent out with this thing. It's just a really bad idea. As it stands, though, Minister of Inquiries, I give it a 2. He's not great. Next one we have is the Nimble Innovator. 3 to blue, Vedalken Artificer, 2/2, when it enters battlefield, draw a card. Typically, 3 mana 2/2s are good. And by that proxy, paying an extra mana to draw a card is also pretty good. As it stands, though, 4 mana 2/2s aren't great. It's a solid 2. You know, if you have the synergies to go with the, as it is an Artificer, if you have some of the synergies that go with the Artificer cards in the set, then it comes a little bit higher on the rating scale. But as it stands, this guy's just not very good. Even drawing the card to replace himself, not super exciting. Solid 2. Next one we have is Padim, Council of Innovation. Legendary creature, Vedalken Artificer, 1/4 that gives your artifacts you control hexproof at the end of your upkeep. If you control the artifact with the highest mana cost or tied for the highest mana cost, draw a card. Impress me, color me, impress Padim. You're awesome. Solid 3 here. The body's relevant, the ability's relevant, you're in blue, you're playing a bunch of artifacts, surely gonna have something in there to draw some cards off. I like this guy a lot. Solid 3. Next one we've got is Paradoxical Outcome. This is the moment where Rashmi, the artificer on Kaladesh, finally realized that she could transport matter with this frisbee that she's got going here. But this is a 3 to blue instant to return any number of target non-token permanents you control to their owner's hand. Draw a card for each card returned to your hand this way. So this one's kind of weird. Yeah. it's not a, you can't target your opponent's stuff with this, you have to target yourself. I don't think there's a real way to generate any kind of advantage out of this. You can't bounce the servos or the thopters you've made in drawing any cards. You've got to bounce the creature. This is a rough one. I don't think there's a way to really abuse this unlimited. This is far more a constructed card. Vintage and Modern have both shown decks that could really take advantage of this. As it stands, it's probably just a 2, maybe closer to an unplayable, but I can certainly see some situations where you're wanting to bounce your own creatures back to your hand and maybe replay them for some value, maybe to get their energy back. This one's rough. I don't... 2, and it's barely there at that. Next one we have is Revolutionary Rebuff. 1 blue, instant, counter-target non-artifact spell as its controller pays 2. Better in draft, and even then, pretty rough. In your limited games for your sealed pre-releases and your Moto Online leagues. Games are going to grind out, and drawing this late in the game where your opponent can probably just pay for it is not great. This is no Mana League. Mana League's insane. This is not the revolution that Wizard wants this to be, unfortunately. Next one we have is Saheeli's Artistry. 4 blue sorcery, choose one or both. Create a token that's a copy of target artifact, or create a token that's a copy of target creature, except it's an artifact in addition to its other types. Holy crap, this thing's insane. This was the first card that actually got leaked out for Kaladesh. I believe this is the release weekend promo. This card is absolutely nuts. If there's anything on the board that you want to have a copy of, I'm going to have 2 of them. Jesus, card is nuts. This is a 4. Holy cow. I want one of those. I'm going to make another one. I'm like 2 of these. And holy crap. Ooh, this card's sweet. Anyway. Select for inspection. 1 blue instant. Return target creature to its owner's hand. Scry 1. Vapor snag good. Unsummon good. This good. 2.5. Next one we have Shrewd Negotiation. Four to blue, exchange control of target artifact you control and target artifact or creature you don't control. So you basically just pull the old switcheroo. For 5 mana, this is about where this needs to be costed to actually be, you know, fair in that sense. That being said, I probably would have gone my way to try and jam this into too many of my decks. Sideboard this maybe if your opponent has like a Gear Hulk or just some massive artifact or that you want to take control of. It's just kind of weird. And it's exchange control, target artifact you control, and target artifact or creature you don't control. So it's a little, you don't have to, I guess you can give up like a servo or something to get their big dude out on their side of things. That's pretty good. 2.5 at best, yeah. Tezzeret's Ambition is next. 3 blue-blue sorcery to draw 3 cards, and if you control no artifacts, discard a card. If you don't control any artifacts at this point, you're probably not playing the deck for this card. I give this one a solid 2, just because typically draw spells like this are very, very slow. Unless you're playing like a really, really grindy, controlling draft deck, this is where it gets a little bit better, but I probably wouldn't, you know, gravitate towards this card for any real reason. It's got Tezzeret on it, though, and therefore it's kind of cool, but it's only a 2 at that. Next we have as our next creature in the Thriving Cycle, this is Thriving Turtle. 1 blue creature, it's a 0/3. Enters the battlefield, gets 2 energy counters, and whenever it attacks, you may pay 2 energy and put a +1/+1 counter on it. Cool. Big turtles are sweet. You get a solid 2.5. It's going to be able to block in their early turns. If your opponent doesn't have anything on their turn, you're free to just kind of, you know, pay the energy, attack, and with a 1/4, and it becomes that much more difficult to actually block. I think this guy's going to be pretty solid in any blue deck for both offense and defense. Really, really solid card here. Next one we have is Torrential Gearhulk. 4 blue-blue, construct, 5/6, with flash. Enters the battlefield, casts target instant card from your graveyard without paying its mana cost. If that card put into a graveyard this turn, exiled instead. So this is big Snapcaster Mage. It's a huge body by itself. The flash makes this thing completely playable even without a decent instant in your graveyard, and if you do, holy crap, you're probably winning the game at this point. This card is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S, bananas. Need I say more? Solid 4. Next one we have is the Delkin Blade Master. I think this is the only instance of prowess on this in this entire set. And it's kind of apt, too, because these Vedelkin things have, like, 6 fingers, which makes them, you know, kind of weird. 2 and a blue, 2/3 Vedelkin Soldier that has prowess. Casts, whenever you cast a non-creature spell, it gets +1/+1 until the end of turn. Sweet. Give it a solid 2.5, just because, you know, if you have any, you know, good tempo plays, you could easily, you know, bounce a guy, block a guy, shoot a guy down, and probably trade up with whatever you're blocking with. Super solid effect, as always. The body's relevant, solid 2/3 for 3 mana, 2.5. Next one we've got is the Delkin Wingsmith, 3 to blue, 3/3, that whenever an artifact enters the battlefield under your control, it gains flying until the end of turn. So again, this is kind of where the Aether Tradewind comes into play, where you can just, you know, bounce an artifact back to your hand, replay it, get this guy flying, jam in for 3. Even for 4 mana 3/3s, you know, Grey Ogres are still completely playable limited. I give this guy a 2.25, somewhere at 2.5 when it starts flying around. Great blue common, bread and butter. What more can you say about a guy like this? Although he's not as good as the next guy as far as terms of bread and butter. This is Windrake, 2 and a blue, Drake, 2/2 flyer. Yeah. He's a 2.5. He's just a solid flyer. What more can you ask for a card like this? And so, yeah, that's our blue cards. This is going really quickly again. When there's nobody else to talk to, you can just kind of yammer on by yourself and things go by in a flash. So make sure you check out the all the other colors. We're going to be going right to the color pie. So black is going to be up next. Make sure you check out the white set review. Let me know what your favorite card is in the comments. I'm definitely, you know, interested in knowing, you know, what you think is going to be the best color combination for Kaladesh Limited. What you're most excited to play with? Is it the Gear Hulks? Is it the Planeswalkers? So many cool cards in this set. So definitely let me know what your favorite cards are in the set. And make sure you check us out every week over on EOT Newsflash. Over on MTGcast, find us on Twitter and Facebook, and over here on YouTube. I've done a lot of great videos in the past couple of weeks, so definitely check those out. And as always, Thanks for watching, and we'll see you guys next time. All right, and here we go again. This is Alex once again with the EOT Newsflash. This is our Kaladesh Limited Set Reviews. These are all the black cards. Once again, I am joined by nobody. I did not fabricate. All counters are on myself. That's a reference to Black's mechanic here. Right. Anyway, so 4-point scale. 1 to the unplayable cards. 2 are your fillers, most of your deck. 3 are your premium creatures, spells, and removal. 4 are the absolute bombs that will pull you into the color up in your pack. There's your Demon of Dark Schemes. I'm going to play black now. Good times. All right, let's kick it right off with Aetherborn Marauder. This is a 3 and a black Aetherborn Rogue. I love these Aetherborn Rogue guys. If you've played StarCraft, they're very reminiscent of the Protoss, which was my favorite race back when I was playing a lot of StarCraft when I was younger. But you get a 2-2, 3 to black flyer with lifelink, and when it comes into battlefield, you may move any number of +1/+1 counters from other permanents you control onto Aetherborn Marauder. Pray they don't have any bounce spells. But as it is, this guy's a 3. If you've got a decent-sized board with that you've been fabricating the counters onto the creatures and not making the servos, you're going to make a giant, giant beater and just hopefully crash through for lots of damage and gain your all that life back that you've probably been, that you've lost during the game. Solid 3, really powerful in common here, but again, pray they don't have that Inspection Blue bounce spell. That would be awkward. Next one we've got is Ambitious Aetherborn. 4 to black, 4-3 Artificer, or it's Aetherborn Artificer. We fabricate 1. This guy's kind of mediocre. You know, nothing fancy about a 5-mana 5-4 or anything that makes a token. Just plain vanilla, pretty bread and butter. 2.25 if that. Next one we've got is Demon of Dark Schemes. 3 black creature demon. He's rocking this, like, sash thing. I didn't know that demons had fashion sense. And he's got these big old swords. Like, this guy's a baller. He's a 5-5 flyer. And when he enters the battlefield, all other creatures get -2/-2 until the end of turn. So this is the Massacre Worm effect. So that card was unbelievable back in the day. Whenever another creature dies, you get an energy. You may pay 2 in black and then pay 4 energy and put target creature from a graveyard, any graveyard, on the battlefield under your control. So you play this guy, wipe the board, untap, pay some energy, pay some mana, and get back the giant dude. This is like Massacre Worm and Shieldred had a baby, and this really stylish and frankly very dapper demon showed up in its stead. So pretty cool. Solid 4. Next one we have is the Duhund Operative. 1 in a black, 2-2 human rogue. As long as you control an artifact, it gets +1/+0 and has death touch. This is a bear with upside. This could be nothing other than a 3. This guy's pretty great for all of your, filling your curve up on your black aggressive decks. I like this guy a lot. Play with artifacts, make it have death touch. Sweet. Although I don't know what a Duhund is. There's a lot of little words in this set that I just kind of have to go, huh? Next one we have is a great reprint here. This is Diabolic Tutor, Liliana telling Chandra to do something naughty. 2 black sorcery, search your library for a card, put it in your hand, and shuffle your library. Just how hot your fire can be. Don't play this card. This is a pretty solid 2 here. I wouldn't go really out of my way unless I just had a card that was just going to end the game every time I cast it. 4 mana to not affect the board is pretty iffy, so I would probably leave this one on the sideboard. Might have better draft applications, but I'm not super high on this card. Leave this one at home, I think. Solid 2. Next one we have is Die Young. 1 in a black sorcery to choose target creature and get 2 energy. You may then pay any amount of energy, so if you have some left over from another spell, you can pay that energy in addition to the energy you've already got off of the spell. That creature gets -1/-1 until the end of turn for each energy paid this way. So this is a pretty sweet spin on classic removal, things like Doomblade and Ultimate Price. If you've been stockpiling energy, which all the colors have a way to generate a pretty decent amount of energy over the course of a game, this could kill pretty big stuff very easily for not a lot of investment. I like this card a lot. This is a solid 2.5 for me. All right, next we have is the Dukhara Scavenger. It's a 5 and a black crocodile. 4-6, enters the battlefield, may put target creature or artifact from your graveyard on top of your library. Wreath of Effects are sweet. It's a big beater. Nothing too fancy, but a pretty solid 2.5 for the investment. I like this card a lot. Next one we have is Eliminate the Competition. This is the most violent card I think I've seen in a long time. Like, this dude is stabbing through his own arm into this poor guy's arm and just like, man, what you gotta do is what you gotta do, but come on. 4 and a black sorcery has additional cost to cast, eliminate the competition, sacrifice X creatures, destroy X target creatures. So if you've got a decent board state, maybe off of some servo tokens you've been fabricating. Just saying. This one is a solid 3 for me. It's a very, very good removal spell, I think. Next one we've got is the Embral Bruiser. 1 and a black human warrior, comes to battlefield tapped, and has menace as long as you control an artifact. That's a pretty sweet thing deal right there. Servo tokens, thopper tokens, whatever you got. And coming down to play tapped is kind of mediocre, but it's not like he's going to be blocking anyway. Jam this guy sideways as much as you can. Give this guy a 2.5, very, very powerful. Even without the artifact, it will trade up a lot of times whenever you attack it for the first go around. Next one we have is Essence Extraction, 1 black instant to deal 3 damage to target creature, and you gain 3 life. So this is a really bad Lightning Helix, but Lightning Helix is good, and so therefore this is good, because even a bad Lightning Helix is a good Lightning Helix. Even Warlander's Helix is good. Another solid removal spell. It can't go to the face, which, you know, not a huge deal, but this is going to kill a majority of the early game creatures you're going to deal with in your limited games. So I gave this one a solid 3. Very good removal spell. Next one we have is Fortuitous Find. This is a 2 and a black sorcery. Choose 1 or both. Return target artifact creature or artifact card from your graveyard to your hand, or return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. So you're effectively getting a double raised dead for three mana. That's a really insane rate, especially when some of these artifacts are really, really powerful. I like this card quite a bit. I gave this a 2 just because you don't want to be jamming your deck full of a lot of these, but it's really good filler when you're looking for like maybe that 23rd, 22nd spell for the rest of your deck. Pretty solid. Next one we have is the Foundry Screecher, 2 and a black bat. 2/1 flyer whenever, and it gets +1/+0 as long as you control an artifact. So 3/1 flyers for 3 are pretty solid as well. Gave this guy a solid 3. Very, very good card, I think. Very aggressive black card at that. Here's one that I completely missed when I was reading the spoiler over earlier this morning. Fretwork Colony, 1 and a black insect, 1/1 that cannot block. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a +1/+1 counter on Fretwork Colony, and you lose a life. So it's kind of like this weird Phyrexian Arena kind of thing going on here. Just gets super, super big, but, and if you can't block, you just want to be like jamming with this thing, and just the mental image this thing conjures up is just terrifying. If you don't like bugs, yeah, creepy card, but gave this one a solid 2.5 here. I like this card a lot as well. Gonti, Lord of Luxury, 2 black legendary creature, Aetherborn Rogue. He's a 2/3 with Death Touch. When it enters the battlefield, look at the top 4 cards of target opponent's library, exile 1 of them face down, then put the rest on the bottom of that of their library in any random order. For as long as that card remains exiled, you may look at it, you may cast it, you may spend mana of any color of any type to cast it. So if you have mountains, you can cast blue spells, essentially. Is that what that, right, what that reads? This guy is nuts, and I was really hoping we got to see a lot more of these legendary Aetherborn rogues, but I hope there's more Lords of stuff. So I think he's really cool, and I give him a solid 4. Being able to steal your opponent's spell out of their deck is really, really powerful, and it comes with a pretty nice body as well. Next one we've got is Harsh Scrutiny. 1 black sorcery, target opponent reveals his or her hand, you may choose a creature card from it, that player discards that card, and you scry 1. So this is like Despise. It's kind of whatever. The scry is pretty underwhelming. I don't think it's worth all that much in your deck. Unless you know your opponent has a lot of really powerful creatures, I could see probably boarding this in. But other than that, it's a 2. It might be the 23rd card in your deck. I'm not too excited about playing this one, though. Next one we've got is Lawless Broker. Tuna Black Aetherborn Rogue, 3-2, that when it dies, you put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. Again, this plays really well to the Fabricate and the +1/+1 counter manipulation that Black is really pushing in this set. It is insane how important the +1/+1 counters are to all the Black creatures. So this guy just kind of like fuels that more. And as a 3-2 for 3, that's a really good rate. He's going to trade up and he's going to trade often and make some of your other guys bigger. So I give this guy a 2.5 just because he's a really solid Black creature, great curve filler, and just makes other your other guys much, much bigger, which actually comes in pretty handy in some of these other Black cards. Next one we have is Live Fast. This is a 2 Black sorcery to draw 2 cards, lose 2 life, and gain 2 energy. This is a little bit better because it's Black and you're gaining energy off of it. There's the blue spell that scries 2, draws 2, and gains 2 energy. I like this one a little bit more simply because it's cheaper. And if you're playing blue black in your limited decks, those are two great cards that go together. If you've played Read the Bones, if you've played Sign and Blood, you know how good these cards can be in certain cases. So maybe not the best, maybe not a great card that you put in your limited deck, but definitely, another good curve filler, bread and butter, 23rd, 24th playable. Definitely gave this one a 2.5 in those kind of like grindier games. Drawing extra cards can always be a great benefit to you. So I can see this one being pretty good. Next one is Lost Legacy, aka Right in the Feels. 1 black sorcery, name a non-artifact, non-land card. Search target player's graveyard, hand, and library for any number of cards with the same name and exile them. That player shuffles his or her library, then draws a card for each card exiled this way. There's always those cards, right? In every set that you look at it and go, I swear, if I open this in a limited event, I'm just going to cry. You open like 3 of these in your packs. Oh, God. This card does nothing, in my opinion. Like, is as close to a 0 as possible. I gave it a 1 just because I can see the most narrow of instances where you're like, I can't beat whatever this non-artifact card is in their deck. Like, if it's a Gearhulk, you're out of luck. I can't beat their Planeswalker or this stupid Leviathan in blue. I've got to get rid of it, and it's worth them drawing a card. And the Archer is sad. That's Chandra's dad. He's dead. Moving on, we have Make Obsolete. 2 Black instant. Creatures your opponent control gets -1/-1 until the end of turn. Now, this is kind of a tricky one to evaluate because there are not a bunch of X1s in this set, except in red. A couple of the Gremlins kind of fall in that category. That being said, if you're playing, I think this is where you want to put this card in your sideboard to start with and bring it in against certain matchups. If your opponent has a bunch of Servos or Thopter tokens, this is a great one to use. Or if they make a big alpha attack and you block, or you're making the alpha strike and they block, you can use this to kind of like leverage the board a little bit better and potentially wipe their side of the board. So it's almost like a one-sided Wrath effect, but it's a little bit more conditional just because it is a very minuscule amount of stat changes. So use this one cautiously. Probably a sideboard card at best. If the format turns into more of an aggressive kind of looking thing, where there's a lot of X1s running around, I can see this being almost a 2, maybe a 2.5, but this is one that I would keep a very close eye on and play accordingly, start in your sideboard and go from there. Next one we've got is Marionette Master, 4 black human artificer, fabricate 3, so you can either put 3 +1/+1 counters on it or make 3 1/1 servo tokens. When an artifact you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, target opponent loses life equal to Marionette Master's power. First problem with this card. Why didn't you call it Master of Puppets of Wizards? I'm sure there's a trademark problem in there. I'm sure Metallica would have sued them. Because they like to sue people. Well, at least they used to. But come on! Master of Puppets! Pulling the strings! Smashing your dreams! Come on! Come on! Anyway. So, this guy's a solid 3 here. I don't know how often you're going to make the tokens, because it's a very weird push-pull kind of thing here we're dealing with. You want it to be big enough to make the life loss relevant, but you do, but you want to make artifacts to, you know, go with it. So it's kind of weird in that regard. I can probably see this being more often than not a 6-mana 4/6, which is a little bit, which is a lot better, and will trade up very often. And then you start, you know, chump blocking with your artifact creatures, which is probably the way you want to go with this guy. But in certain board states, this guy's a monster and will just take over the game by himself. Potentially close to a 4, but again, that fabricate mechanic is just really hard to evaluate right now, and I'm not quite sure where it's going to sit on the power spectrum. So for the time being, he's a 3. Or she is a 3. She's a 3. Next one we've got is the Malphus Squad. 3 to black, menace, 1/3/1 with fabricate 1, it's a human artificer. I gave this guy a 2.5. He's a good solid curve filler. I think you will always put the +1/+1 counter on him, simply because by about the time you're playing this guy on curve, there's going to be more X2s on the board, and you want to be able to take out both of them. And being a 3/1 isn't great when it comes down to that. If he costs 3 mana, then you've got a better argument for that. But as he stands, he's just a pretty decent curve filler. 2.25, borderline 2. Next one we have is Midnight Oil. 2 black enchantment. Midnight Oil enters the battlefield with 7 counters on it. 7 hour counters on it. At the beginning of your draw step, draw an additional card and remove 2 hour counters from Midnight Oil. Your maximum hand size is equal to the number of hand counters on Midnight Oil. Whenever you discard a card, lose a life. 0. Don't play this card. Man, this card's dumb. There's this card in Standard. I get it. It's a harmless offering. You can give your opponent a Demonic Pact right now and let them lose the game. You can combo this somehow with that in Standard, I guess. But in Limited, don't touch this card at all. If it's in your rares, you know, just ignore it. If it's your promo, I'm sorry. Karma's probably going to come back and bite me in the butt now and give me that as my promo at the pre-release, because that's how these things work. But yeah, don't touch this card. It's just weird. It's not going to do you anything, and you're going to lose the game because of it. 0. Flat out 0. Next one we've got is Mind Rot, with probably some of the most beautiful art for Mind Rot ever. Usually we get kind of like these, you know, more grotesque, sort of, you know, zombie-esque cards that we're looking at, but this is just beautiful here. 2 and a black sorcery, target player discards 2 cards. This might not be on the radar for a lot of newer players, you know, in terms of powerful cards, but this is a surprisingly powerful effect, especially once the game's kind of stalled out. You know, when you're in limited games, you're going to draw an opening hand and have your lands, some 2 drops, and maybe like your 6 drop or whatever. And you get to a point where you have like 1 or 2 cards left in your hand, and if your opponent peels this and Mind Rots you and gets your bomb out of your hand, you are in trouble. So I'm not usually looking to play too many of these. 1 usually makes the cut for me. But as it stands, it's just a 2 for now. Different formats of Limited have better uses for Mind Rot. So this might be one where it's a lot better than I think it is, or it could be a little bit worse. But as a curve filler and just a good, solid, playable card, I really like it a lot, and that art is just gorgeous. Next one we have is Morbid Curiosity. 1 black sorcery as an additional cost to cast Morbid Curiosity. Sacrifice an artifact or creature and draw cards equal to the converted mana cost of the sacrificed permanent. Now this is one that I can see easily putting into any black deck at any point, because you're going to be drawing 2, 3, 4, 5 cards with this thing. This is a really powerful effect. If your opponent has locked something down with the new Pacify or the blue enchantment that gives it -4/-0, or just anything that's kind of like stopped a creature from being useful, whether it's, you know, just it can't attack anymore for any reason, just getting rid of it and drawing new cards is always a great effect. So I gave this card a 2.5. This could almost be a 3 just because of how powerful this effect is. I could almost see this being played in Standard in some cases with some of those Emerge cards like Wretched Griff. Huge, huge advantage you can gain off of casting this card. This thing is really sweet. I like it a lot. Solid 2.5, maybe almost a 3 for me. Next one we've got is Night Market Lookout. One black human rogue. It's a 1/1. When it becomes tapped, each opponent loses one life and you gain one life. So it attacks for one damage and you do an extra point of damage with its ability. I would stay away from this completely unlimited. Traditionally, one drops are terrible in sealed. Draft is a little bit different because you can kind of draft around these guys and, you know, pick up multiples of them and really kind of create some very dramatic life swings during your games. But in terms of just power, it has next to none effectively. It's not going to trade up usually. It will always be just be blocked and it'll just sit there forever looking really bad for you. So this is as close to a one and unplayable as you could probably get in this set, without actually being completely unplayable, that is. Maybe there's a black aggro deck, or maybe in draft it's a little bit better, but for the most part in your sealed environments, stay away from this guy. Now, that being said, this guy is super playable and is just the bee's knees. This is the Noxious Gear Hulk, 4 black artifact construct creature, 5/4 with menace, enters the battlefield, destroy another target creature, and it's non-conditional. Traditionally, things like this are like non-black, or an artifact, tapped, whatever. Destroy it and gain life equal to its toughness. This thing's insane. Right? It's just a 4. We understand that, right? Good. All right, moving on. Oval Chase Daredevil, 3 and a black, 4/2. Whenever it enters the battlefield, whenever another artifact enters the battlefield under your control, you may return Oval Chase Daredevil from your graveyard to your hand. I like this guy a lot. He's gonna trade up and oftentimes be chumped, but that's okay because he'll either kill what's chumping him, take both creatures with him, and you just play another artifact, and he comes right back. Awesome. Solid 3. Next one we got is the Prakhada Club Security. Wherever the Prakhada Club is, I want to go there because this guy is beastly and he's guarding a secret. 3 and a black Aetherborn Warrior. 3/4. He's a dude. Solid 2. It's red that the Prakhada Club closes its doors. It's also red that Lord Gonti meets with Council Combal. What are the odds the two would occur in the same day? Conspiracies abound. Yeah, solid 2, vanilla creature, nothing fancy here. Moving on. Rush of Vitality. 1 of the black instant gives a creature, target creature, +1/+0 and gains lifelink and indestructible to the end of turn. It's a decent little combat trick here. It's solid 2. Yeah, your opponents will see this one coming, unfortunately. Once they've, once you've played the format a little bit, you can start predicting what combat tricks and removal spells you're most likely to see. And this being common, probably the most common one to see in any black aggressive deck. So don't be surprised if your opponent goes like, all right, I'll block it, whatever. And they just shrug it off because you're not going to get a whole lot of advantage out of this. The life swing is relevant, but I wouldn't bank on it too much. Solid 2, though. Next one is Subtle Strike, 1 in a black instant, choose one or both. I love that we're seeing more modal spells. These are really, really cool. I love the templating of them. It's very clean. If you look at old cryptic commands, it's just a wall of text. If you look at new cryptic commands, it's beautiful. It's elegant. If you look at Texas cryptic commands, it's just, oh crap, what's he going to do with this one? But anyway, this one is choose one or both. Target creature gets -1/-1 until the end of turn, or put a +1/+1 counter on target creature. So this is another one of those cards that's affecting with the +1/+1 mechanic that black is really tied to within this set. The fabricate mechanic really ties well into this. This is a great combat trick. It's a permanent boost, which is great, and it can eventually kill another creature. And the power boost you get on the creature that's being blocked that you're attacking with might just be enough to get through and kill that one as well. So this could be a great 2/1 in some cases. I gave this one a 2.5. Next one we have is the Syndicate Tracker. 1 in a black Aetherborn Rogue, 3/1. You can maybe pay 1, sack an artifact, and put a +1/+1 counter on him. It gains indestructible until the end of turn. So again, all these +1/+1 counters, all these fabricate mechanics, I'm going to sack these servos with this guy, make him really big. He's going to get through, deal some damage. Awesome. 2.5. Just a little bit unwieldy just because that really low toughness makes him a little suspect of removal. Next one we have is the next card in the Thriving Cycle. This is the Thriving Rats. One in a black, 1/2. Enters the battlefield, gets 2 energy. Whenever it attacks, pay 2 energy, get +1/+1 counter on it. Great. Solid 2. And our last couple of black cards here, we've got Tidy Conclusion. 3 black, black, instant. Destroy target creature, you gain a life for each artifact you control. Again, all these fabricate mechanics. Giving you servos. I'ma kill a guy. I'ma gain some life. Too bad it costs 5 mana. Otherwise, it'd be a little bit better. Probably no better than a 2. You can see a lot of these probably in your draft and your sealed pool. I wouldn't pick up more than 2 of these. Maybe only play 1. Bring in the extra and just in case your opponent has some really big creatures you need to take care of. Next one we've got is Underhanded Designs. And I love just the artwork here of the... I guess like the Joker buzzer and the Aetherborn guy's hand is just going to get you. 1 in a black enchantment. Whenever an artifact enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay 1. If you do, each opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. You may sacrifice it by paying 1 in a black and destroy target creature. You may only activate this ability only if you control 2 or more artifacts. So hopefully you'll probably have a few to activate this one. But this one's really cool. I like the drain and gain effect of this. It plays very much like Extort did back in Gatecrash, the Orzhov mechanic from that set. And just the ability to just kill a creature is also really good. So if you've got a lot of artifacts in here, maybe you're playing like blue-black, I guess, would be the combination to go with that. This could be a really easy way to just kind of take games over. Very reminiscent of like Call of the Bloodline from Shadows Over Innistrad, just the ability to just gain incremental advantage slowly but surely. I like this card a lot. It's kind of a build around me, so I dock a couple points for that, but as it stands, this is a solid 2, almost a 2.5. In the right deck, this is going to be an all-star at a 3, though. Probably better in draft than in your sealed environments. Last card in black, we have the Weapon Craft Enthusiast. 2 in a black Aetherborn Artificer. He's got like this serious Protoss Warp Blade thing going on. It's probably Zeratul. He's a 0/1 Fabricate 2, so he can make either 2 servos or put 2++ on counters on him. I don't know why you wouldn't put the counters on him, because otherwise he's just kind of embarrassing. I gave this one a 2, and if you've noticed, I've kind of ranked all of these Fabricate cards in black, and for the most part the other ones as well, a little bit lower than normal. And again, it's just because I don't think the Fabricate mechanic is all that great, and going off of that, maybe black isn't a good color in this draft, in this limited environment either. We'll have to see how it all plays out, but as it stands, you know, having to put counters on creatures or make them even worth the mana cost for them is pretty rough, and making just servos, you know, these 1/1s that don't even fly and have no abilities and have no real impact on the game unless you have things like Tidy Conclusions or Underhanded Designs, it just gets a little underwhelming. So I'm going to be leaning towards the fact that if you open up a lot of black cards in your pool, you might be kind of hard-pressed to win some games because they're really underwhelming, but I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I've been right before. So we'll see what happens. So that does it for all of the black cards for Kaladesh. Appreciate you guys watching. Go back and watch the blue and the white reviews that we've already done and posted. I'll be finishing out the rest of the set hopefully this weekend. Use this as a tool to prep for your pre-release. Let me know your favorite card in Kaladesh. What are you most excited about opening at the pre-release? Let me know in the comments. And be sure to check out us every week over on MTG Cast. Brand new episodes of the EOT Newsflash. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter and Twitch. We start doing some more streaming. And as always, thanks for watching, guys. And we'll get back to you guys here very shortly with the red cards. Thanks for watching, guys.